It's good to be back out here in God's house one more Sunday, is it not? Is it not? I'm going to be over in the book of Hebrews. If you want to turn over there, and I'll have you, we'll stand here a minute, but I want to talk a little bit. Now, Jesus has been crucified. We know that. We observe Good Friday, or as Ken would like to teach us, as Ken has taught us, it may be referenced to Good Wednesday, maybe. Maybe. You know that? But we've done that. We had placed him in a tomb, and everyone thought that that would be the end of him, but it is not. It has not been the end of him. And Sunday morning was coming, and praise God, it's Easter Sunday, and it's Resurrection Sunday, and it's here. Praise God for that. Now, I want to tell you something. You've heard something. This is something that I was thinking about. I hope and pray that everybody here is born again. I hope and pray that you are. Because I want to tell you something. That is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life, is whether or not you are born again and the Spirit of God flows in your life. Because if the Spirit of God is not flowing in your life, my Bible tells me without the Spirit you are none of His. That's what it says. That's not me standing up here trying to make stuff up. I want you to be able to celebrate Easter in the full context of what it means to be born again. Jesus died on that cross. He is risen again. He is risen again. And the day that the Lord arose out of that tomb, He come out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Those of you who have been in church long enough know what I'm saying right there. He is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And can I tell you something this morning? Being born again makes you victorious over death, hell, and the grave one day. That is something to shout about. That is something to praise Him about here this morning. Now, let's go 40 days later. 40 days later, after the resurrection, somewhere around May 27th this year, is what we call Ascension Day. That is the day that our Lord and Savior, he was messed around out here a little bit. He showed Himself to those 500, and one day, and they were standing there, and they watched Him go into heaven, and I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. And then somewhere between 7 and 10 days after Ascension Day, the Holy Spirit was poured out in full, all of its glory. So you and I, now I want you to listen to this, is poured out so we can live a Spirit-filled and empowered life. I'm here to tell you to live a Christ-filled, Spirit-filled, empowered life. You need the Spirit in your life, and you need for it to guide and direct your life and direct your path. And can I tell you something this morning? That is free. That is to everyone in the sound of my voice here this morning. Praise His name. If you're saved, that is free to you this morning. But brothers and sisters, that's not the end of the story. And that's what I'm going to preach on here this morning. Over in Acts 1:11, I'll get to the scripture, our text here in a minute. In Acts 1:11, it says this: "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." He's coming back again. And He's coming back for those that are saved, for those that have died saved. He's coming back for them one day. He's coming back for you one day if you're born again. Can you give me a praise this morning for that? He is coming back for you if you're saved this morning. He's coming back. As Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story. For those of you old enough to know who Paul Harvey is. All right, if you're able, let's stand and read this morning's text, Hebrews 10:25. If you would read it with, stand with me this morning and we'll read it, then we'll have a word of prayer. Hebrews 10:25. "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching." Will you say with me, "as you see the day approaching"? As you see the day approaching. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You again this morning, Lord, I want to give you praise. Thank you, Father, for Resurrection Sunday, Lord. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your Son that died upon that cross, that could give us this life eternal, Lord, and we praise you for that. Lord, I praise you, Father, for all your goodness, for all your mercy. I thank you for the souls that are represented here this morning. And Lord, we will give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. And amen. You may be seated, and thank you. As the old song used to say, I've got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. And I want to do it. I don't want to die. Please pray with me. Easter's not the end of the story. There's another event. There's a couple other events on the Christian calendar that are going to take place. The next event to take place that I'm looking forward to, and I hope that you are too, is the rapture of the church. I hope and pray that you're looking forward to that. Easter's not the end of it. No way, no way, shape, or form. Praise God. We have this hope, and this hope springs eternal. One of these days, he's coming back to take us home one day. He's going to do that one day. But also, there's another event that I want to talk about here a little bit this morning. The day of the Lord was talking about what we're going to deal with a little bit. One day, Jesus is coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth. And he is going to be Lord, he's going to be ruler and master, and he's going to be king, he's going to be president, he's going to be all that. And can I tell you this morning, Dave, it's going to be justice then. There's going to be justice for all then. There's going to be justice for everyone then, because he's the one that's going to set the rules. He's the one that's going to set the pace. Praise his name this morning. To live a Christian life, listen to me about this. How many of you know it's difficult and it is hard, it's almost impossible to anchor yourself in sand? How many of you know that here this morning? You could take a big boat and you could throw that anchor onto sand and it will not hold. How many of you also know here this morning that if you try to put your foundation on sand, it is going to crack, it is going to go away, it just isn't going to work. How many of you know it is difficult, it is hard, it is impossible to live a Christian life? Impossible without substantial time in the Word of God, without substantial time in prayer, without substantial time with being with fellow believers. If you are doing that, if you're trying to live your life outside of the church, if you're trying to live your Christian walk outside of His Word, if you're trying to live your Christian walk outside of fellowship with brothers and sisters, you are anchoring yourself to shifting sand. It is not going to work. That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 6:19, it says this: we have an anchor for the soul, which is both what? It's both sure and it is steadfast. And that anchor's name is Jesus. The one that we're celebrating coming off that cross this morning, praise his name. He is the sure anchor for your soul. He is the sure anchor for you. I just praise God. And in Matthew 7, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I'm going to talk to you heart to heart here this morning, and listen to me. Listen to me. If you're sitting in this church this morning, and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you're sitting here this morning, and you're pretending that you are a Christian, oh yes, there are people that can pretend. I'm here to tell you something this morning. You're heading for a fall. You're heading for the fall. The Bible tells us one of these days, you're going to need Jesus in your life. You're going to need that fellowship in your life one day. And I'm here to tell you, don't anchor yourself on shifting sand. Don't build your foundation on anything except Jesus Christ. I told this the other night at church up at work. They're putting in a big tank up here. Instead of just digging down so far and putting a concrete foundation, they drilled down till they hit bedrock. They drilled down 30 feet. They drilled down 30 feet and they poured these concrete pillars down all over this center. Then they went in and they poured like 2 to 6 foot of concrete. And that's what they anchored it to. Why? Because they said we needed to get down to a sure foundation. If you're here this morning without Jesus, you need to get to a sure foundation this morning. Absolutely. You see, the writer of the book of Hebrews was dealing with shifting sand Christians. That's what I was wanting to get to in this right here. Whenever I said in 10:25, that's what he was dealing with. He was dealing with a community of Jews which were trying to mix the law and they were trying to mix grace. Can I tell you this morning, that will not work. Grace and the law will not work. It does not work. It is by grace that you are saved. Praise his name this morning. You cannot work enough to get your... You cannot... You don't have it. I don't care. I don't know how rich you are here. I don't know what's in your bank account. But you do not have enough money in there to buy your way into heaven. None of us do. It comes by accepting the free gift that has been given. They were trying to mix Judaism with Christianity. The law with grace. All that. That's what Paul was dealing with. And some were starting to get disinterested. And some were starting to fall away. That's why the writers of Hebrews 10:25 lays it out on the line like this. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see that day approaching. Brothers, I have seen it, not in this church, but in other. I've seen it in this church, not only in this church, but in other churches, especially the last couple of years. People are becoming disinterested. People don't want to come to church anymore. People don't want to come and hear God's word anymore. They don't want to be bothered. Well, I can stay home and watch it on television. I can stay home and live stream it. Can I give you something here this morning? It's not like fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. I know. I've tried to watch and live stream and watch it. Stuff like that. I get disinterested real fast. And brothers and sisters, I know that if I do, I know other people do as well. Brothers, we need to be in God's house. Let's break it down a little bit more. Let's put this verse into context. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. He's writing to these Christians who are starting to get discouraged. Anybody in here ever get discouraged? Hey, I have. I've been here. I'll be the first to raise my hand. Yeah, absolutely. I have been discouraged. Absolutely. But brother, I found myself, when I've got discouraged, the only thing that I could do is to dig harder into God's word. The only thing I could do is to pray more and try to and dig more to what and say, Lord, I need you more. I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. Brother, if you are discouraged here this morning, here in a little bit, we're going to open this altar up. Easter Sunday would be a great day to come up here and lay those discouragements on this altar here this morning. It'd be a great time to get up here and lay it down here before the Lord this morning. We have all been there. We've all done that, have we not? And he's telling them, don't give up meeting together as you have been in the habit of doing. That's what that means right there. Can I tell you something? Some habits are good. Some habits are good. I don't feel like coming to church all the time, Michelle. You preacher? Yes. I don't feel like coming to church all the time, but I know it's a habit that I need to get into. It's something that I need to do. And brothers, that's what he's saying right here. Some habits are not bad. If you would ask folks, I guarantee if I go around this church, there are times some of you felt like you just didn't want to go to church. But out of habit, out of that down inside of you, you've pulled yourself, those covers off of you, you've got up out of there and you've got dressed and you come to the house of God and praise his name. When you got there, tell me that you weren't blessed. Tell me that God didn't bless you and tell me that God didn't work with you. They would say, there people say, if you would ask some folks in church, if they always feel like praying. I don't always feel like praying. I don't. There are times whenever I get ready to pray, it just seems like my prayers are going no higher than that ceiling right there. There are times when I do that, but praise God, I pray anyway. Because we serve a God that hears us. And I fight through that. Some habits are good habits, brothers and sisters. But they pray anyway. They've gotten into the habit of praying. How many would agree with me that those kind of habits are good habits? Amen. I think they are. The writer is telling them not to stop getting together as they have been used to doing. And the biggest reason why is so they can exhort one another. I'll tell you what, I have come to this church and I have been down lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. That's what they used to say. I've been that low. And I've had people in here exhort me with their testimonies. I've had people that have lifted me up. because of what they've, you know, when you get someplace sometimes and you figure out that what you're going through is nothing to what some people are going through, and they can still serve God, they can still praise God, that just helps me. And praise His name. The biggest reason why we come to exhort one another is not to gossip about one another. It's not to show off our clothes to one another. It's not to talk about what our kids have done. It's to talk, not to talk about what the president is doing. We don't come here to do that. No, the biggest reason we gather together to come here is to encourage one another and is to help one another to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. The church congregation has been through a lot. I wrote this down. I've been the pastor here for 12 years. As a matter of fact, it's Mother's Day. I'll be here 13 years, actually. I've been here for 12 years. And I'll tell you what, my prayers has always been, Lord, help my church family to encourage them. That's what my prayers have been. The rough times. There's been some rough times. We as a church body have faced them head on, have we not? There has been loss. Family members, there's been loss of family members. We have faced sickness in this church. We have faced a pandemic. We faced it head on. We have faced some who have decided to move on, right? Which were a big part of the church. We faced all that. But praise God, Drift Run Church, we are still here this morning. Praise God, it's Easter 2022. And praise God, we are here to worship and praise Him this morning, right? But we're still facing it head on, and praise God, we're going to continue to face it head on. And the reason we do this, week after week, month after month, and year after year, so we can encourage one another. Amen. Serve the Lord that we serve. Encourage one another. If we keep on encouraging those, to keep on keeping on. Let's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort one another. Comfort yourself together, edifying one another, even also ye do. What he's saying right there, just vernacular, keep it up. That's what he's saying. That's more or less what he's just saying. Just keep it up. Keep encouraging. Keep doing what you're doing. Now the last part of Hebrews 10:25. So much more as you see the day approaching. The writers of Hebrews is telling these shifting sand Christians, and I'm going to tell you this morning here as well. Listen to me. Listen to me. I don't know where you're at here this morning and what area of life you're in and your Christian walk, but listen to me. This is what he's trying to tell. Instead of pulling back, you should be drawing closer to one another. That's what he's trying to get. As you see the day approaching, I'm going to get to the day approaching here in just a minute. As you see it, you should be wanting to get closer to God. You should be wanting to get into everything you can in the house of God. Get as much God in you as you can get. Get as much Jesus as in you can get. Get as much Holy Spirit in as you can get, especially as you see the day approaching. Especially as you see the signs of that day are more and more obvious. And they are. We look around us. So what is that day? The day, there are 24 different references to the day of the Lord or to the day in the Bible. Or there's just 24 different references to it in there. Almost always referenced to two different things. The battle of Armageddon or the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:2-5 with me. Fifth chapter, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read the second through the fifth verse. Say amen when you get there, please. I'd say I'd love to hear pages turn, but we do our phones now, so... All right. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now I want you to listen to this. For when they shall say peace, safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not the children of night nor of darkness. Did you notice the pronouns in there? Because I want you to get those, and you need to mark those if you get a chance right there. The day of the Lord is something that's going to affect they and them. It's not going to affect you if you're a Christian. You understand that? It's not going to affect you. How many are saved in here this morning? You can raise your hand up, but you raise it if you want to. I'm saved. I'm born again. I know I am this morning. I'm not going to look around and judge you about it. But if you are not saved, you are they and them. If you are saved here, you are we and you. Amen? That's what you are. For yourself, a saved person, know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they, an unsaved person, shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, an unsaved person, as travail upon a woman with child, and they, an unsaved person, shall not escape. But ye, a saved person, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you, that is a saved person, as a thief. Ye, the saved person, are all the children of light and the children of day. We, the saved person, are not of the night nor of the darkness. If the day of the Lord is coming in a time of darkness, Christians, what do we live in? We live in the day. We live in the daylight. We live in the light of the Holy Spirit. That's why, brothers and sisters, we should not have to worry about the day that's coming in darkness. Praise His name, because we are the children of light. That's who we are. Praise God. It has nothing to do with me or you if we're saved. Nothing to do with us. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to be afraid of it. I don't even have to look out for it. I'm not going to settle on some tower somewhere with binoculars looking to see if I can see the Lord coming. Praise God it's in there. It told us to watch away. But praise God, I'm not worrying about it, because if He splits the eastern sky today, I'm going to heaven one day. Because I'm not a children of darkness. That the day is going to befall the night dwellers. That's what's going to happen. We study it because it's part of the Bible to study it. But as a Christian, we don't have to be sitting on a tower with night vision goggles looking for Jesus to come back. Praise His name. We should be able to get in our bed at night, close our eyes, and Lord willing, close our eyes and say, Lord, if You come tonight, praise God, I'm going home to be with You. If You come tomorrow, I'm going home to be with You. I don't have to worry, because I am not a night dweller. And neither are you. Jesus' last words on the cross. His last words on the cross. It is finished. It is finished. Because of His sacrifice on the cross, you and I do not have to be night dwellers. Am I right? We don't have to. But it's up to us to accept Jesus into our hearts. It's up to us. You know what? You could be sitting in this church year after year, week after week, day after day. And you may not even, you may tune me out, and you may tune me out, and that's fine. Go for it. But I'm here to tell you something right now. One day, Jesus is coming back to get His church. You are one of these days, and if He doesn't come back to get His church now, we all know nobody escapes this world without death. Nobody does. And you're going to go one of these days. If you die without Jesus, you're going to be eternally a night dweller. John 3:18-20. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I want to ask you a question now. This is just I think it's a bad analogy, but the only thing the Lord gave me. So just bear with me on this one. If a real estate agent would take you and show you two different neighborhoods, and one of them was constantly in darkness, no sunlight, no darkness, there was always thieves breaking in every night. Well, in the other neighborhood, there's always daylight. No thieves. No, it's just a perfect place to live. Now, with anybody with a half a brain, maybe even a brain, would say, well, if they asked you, where would you want to live? You would say you want to live over there where it's daylight all the time, right? Well, I'm telling you this morning, I'm offering you this morning, if you're here lost, you can be a day dweller. You can come to know the one that gives of light, the one that gives us this light, the one that gives us this love. That's up to you. That's perfectly up to you this morning. I cannot come back there and drag you to this altar. There used to be a time in churches, Ron, they used to come back and get you, didn't they? Yes, they did. They would come back, if you were sitting back there and they knew you were lost, they'd come back here and sit down beside you, talk to you, grab you by the hand, and drag you to the altar. But I've come to realize down through the years, if you could be dragged to that altar, the devil could drag you right back out of church too. It's got to be if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, and he's knocking upon your heart, and he's trying to tell you that you need to come to this altar this morning, you need to run up here. You don't need to walk. You need to walk. You need to run up here, and you need to get on your knees, and you need to tell him, Lord, forgive me of everything that I've ever done. Lord, forgive me of anything that I've ever did against you. And can I tell you, he will forgive you. And can I tell you something? Whenever you know that you're saved, it is like a bomb going off in your life. Absolutely. It is just like something you'll never experience. There's no experience for it. You can say, well, I've had my first child, and that love I felt for that first child. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. To know unconditional love. That somebody loves you, even as bad as I was, Greg. Even as bad as this preacher was. To know that someone actually loved me enough that he died on a cross for me, and praise God, he come into my heart one day. Amen. And he dwells with me. Ken, I'm going to be with him one day. He loved me that much. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. Hebrews 10, 15 and 16, back over there for a second. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart and in their minds, and I will write them. There is coming a day when Jesus will rule and reign on this earth. That is those days. If you study that, he's talking about those days. There's coming after Jesus comes, he's going to put his laws in the hearts of people. He's going to put his truth in the minds of people. And those, there won't be any remembrance of sin-cursed world anymore. Do you understand that? Right now, there's all kind of stuff going on. We look at you, we look over in Ukraine, as they've been talking about, and all the atrocities that have taken place over there. We look around this country and all the things that is going on here. As Dave mentioned there earlier, about some of the stuff that seems like it's not fair. I'm going to tell you right now, this world is not fair. It will not be fair until Jesus comes and sets up truth and righteousness on this planet. Then it will be fair. But it isn't going to be till then. No more remembrance of anything like that. None. None. I can promise you that whenever Jesus sets up his kingdom, it ain't going to be nothing like it is now. Nothing. There will be no more atrocities. Nothing. Revelation 21, and I say this at funerals. But brothers and sisters, this is for us. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. You look out here, it ain't going to be this way no more. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. No more Biden, no more Trump. We're going to have God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise his name. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. No more death. I want you to even comprehend that for a minute. No more death. I won't have to preach any more funerals. Praise God. I won't have to go to the hospital anymore. Praise God. I won't have to worry about somebody getting sick, somebody getting hurt, somebody getting this, somebody getting that. Praise God, it is going to be perfect. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are what? They're all passed away. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm going to tell you something. Hell's not the final resting place. You guys know that, don't you? Hell's not the final resting place. The lake of fire is the final resting place. My Bible tells me the devil, the false prophet, hell is all going to be cast into the lake of fire one day. That's the final resting place. Well, we're the children of light are on this earth enjoying what Jesus has set up. That's the other destiny. And I'm not up here saying I'm happy about that. It's my hope, just like Jesus. I would hope that all would be saved. This is the day that the saved by grace are looking forward to. I know I am. We're not there yet. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful as he promised. There are times I'm not faithful. I'm not. I'm not faithful to him as I should be. And if all of us are honest in here, you'll be saying the same thing. But I'm going to tell you this. He has never once not been faithful. Amen. Amen. Never once. He has never once been unfaithful to me. Never once. Now let me talk to you. Remember who the writer of the book, remember who he was writing to. He was talking to those shifting sand Christians. That's who he was talking to. If the United States of America, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit, collapsed tomorrow, does that mean the Lord's coming back? No. We think in our mind, if the United States collapsed, if the economy collapsed, if it all did that, well, the Lord's coming back. We'd be just like some of the other countries that are out there right now. Absolutely. I'm just here to tell you, listen, that just means we'd be like other nations. If the United States descended into chaos and socialism tomorrow, would it mean that Jesus has to come back? No. He could, but it doesn't mean it just because it happened to us. That's out there in this world today. There's a lot of unfair stuff. It just would mean that we're out of our comfort zone. I'm here to tell you what he said. If we put our trust in anything other than Jesus Christ, your trust is in the wrong place. Your faith is not, should not be in America. It should not be in anything. It should not be in your 401k. It should not be in anything. It should be in serving Jesus Christ. That's what Easter's about. That's us putting our trust in the one that is risen. That's who putting our trust in. I've learned a long time ago, Ron, not to put my trust in Wall Street. Don't put your trust there. It's going to hurt you bad. We can look around today and see a whole bunch of folks who have misplaced faith. Can we not? I can see it sometimes. I deal with it a lot. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful. We may not be, for he is faithful to promise. Jesus is faithful. Our trust should be in Jesus. Amen. Amen? Yeah, there's something coming. He's off the cross now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, there's a couple more things that's going to happen. Are you ready? I hope you are. I hope and pray you're ready this morning. But if you're not, we're going to play a song. We're going to play an overhead here right now. And I want you to stand. And if you want to, I know it's late, but get that out of your mind. That's just the devil. That's just the devil. If you need to come to this altar this morning, you come. The Easter egg hunt can wait. Easter dinner can wait. If a soul's in the balance. Amen? Amen. Julie, please.